Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is recorded in Rio de Janeiro by Herbie Mann and João Gilberto with Antonio Carlos Jobim on Atlantic Records, catalog number 8105. This album was released in 1965, though it was recorded in 1962.
So this album, I'm not actually sure where I got my copy from, because this is one of my favorite American bossa nova artist albums. And, you know, more recently when we started ramping up the podcast, I thought, oh, this would be a good album to get to feature on our show, because I believe I have it on CD, and, you know, I'd listened to it for a long time, only to find out that I already had it on LP and I have no recollection of buying it. Although I probably purchased it in my era of buying anything with the title, you know, bossa nova in the title, so who knows. But let's see, what can you tell us about this album?
This doesn't have bossa nova in the title.
No, that's true, but it has
João. It has Rio de Janeiro in it. So, okay, well, it's pretty obviously a bossa nova album. Anyway, so on the cover, it is like this pale gray background, and then it has this triptych of photos from left to right. It's got Herbie Mann in front of that big, like, Christ statue in Rio, and then, like, a little landscape of Rio, and then on the right is a little portrait of João, and then in this, like, kind of green, I don't know what you would call that, like, banner, it has Herbie Mann and João Gilberto recorded in Rio de Janeiro, and then, like, in between those two things, it says with Antonio Carlos Jobim. And then on the back, it has like a little bit of a summary about Herbie Mann's travel to Brazil to record this album, and about the sort of burgeoning popularity of bossa nova music in the U.S. And then it has this little sidebar. It's got a list of all of the tracks, including the artists who are featured on each track and also the composers of each one.
All right, Felicity, well, do we want to get right to your pick?
Sure. I picked Maria Ninguém.
And that is?
That is track number 5 on side A.
All right, so let's take a listen.
Pode ser que haja uma melhor, pode ser que haja uma pior, muito bem. Mas igual a Maria que eu tenho no mundo inteirinho, igualzinha não tem. Maria Ninguém. Maria e é Maria, meu bem. Se eu não sou João de nada, Maria que é minha, é Maria ninguém. Maria ninguém. É Maria como as outras também. Só que tem que ainda é melhor do que muita Maria que há por aí. Marias tão frias, cheias de manias, Marias vazias pro nome que tem. Maria ninguém é um dom que muito homem não tem. Haja visto quanta gente que chama Maria e Maria não vem. É Maria, meu bem. Eu não sou João de nada, Maria que é minha, Maria ninguém.
So what did you like about this song?
Well, first of all, João is awesome. He is one of my favorite bossa nova artists, and I think is, you know, correctly sort of thought of as sort of being like the, you know, like the father of bossa nova. And I think he was really, I guess, responsible for the initial popularity of bossa nova with his 1959 album, Chega de Saudade. And this song was one of three that was composed by Carlos Lyra on his first album. And I don't know actually a lot about Carlos Lyra, other than, you know, he wrote a lot of the early bossa nova songs and then later worked with Vinicius de Moraes and wrote some, you know, some songs with him. I think I have one album of his. It's like called Bossa Nova from 1960, but I think his stuff for some reason is very hard to find, and it's a shame. I'd like to listen more, but back to this track. I think it's a beautiful song. I think it showcases Zhao's singing very well. And just sort of a very beautiful song. What do you think, Felicity?
Yeah, that's really why I picked this track, is Zhao's magical whisper singing. It is like kind of my favorite thing. So the story is that, when Zhao was sort of developing this very distinct style of bossa nova, he would play and sing on one end of the apartment's hallway, and he would like have his buddy like down at the other end and would like sing as quietly as he could, be like, can you hear me? No. Can you hear me? No. Can you hear me? Yes. Like, just like trying to get it as quiet as possible. And so like I think he has definitely engineered this very beautiful whisper singing thing. And the other thing I like about it is that it's also Zhao's quality of like this blend of like tremendous laziness and cheerfulness at the same time. And I think that sort of fits the content of this song. It's about Maria Nobody, and I'm like Zhao Nobody, but together we're really happy and it's fine. Like, I think that sentiment matches the way that he sings and the song. It all works together, and he also has this very beautiful way of playing the guitar. And it wasn't until like I was going through like preparing for the show, I was like, oh, oops, I picked a song that doesn't really have a Herbie Mann featured on it at all. There's no flute in the song. And like, it didn't even occur to me. I'm like, as soon as like the opening came in onto the song, I was like, oh, that's my pick. I want to talk about Maria in Game. When I was preparing for the show, then I looked more carefully at the back of the album, and I was like, oh, well, it's kind of like, that's kind of the construction of this particular album. Like, there's some tracks that are featuring Herbie Mann, there's some tracks that are featuring Zhao, and in fact later on, like Antonio Carlos Jobim is on this album, and each of the artists I think have a little bit of opportunity to shine, but the whole thing kind of works really nicely together. And so, I didn't notice that I was, omitting Herbie here.
Yeah, I think that the reason for that is my suspicion is that Zhao never met with Herbie Mann at all. In fact, I think that this song is literally taken from the album Chega de Saudade.
I think maybe it sounds identical to the version that's on the Chega de Saudade.
So there's literally no song on it that has Herbie Mann and Zhao at the same time. So I think that that's something interesting about this album, that I really think that it was sort of an assemblage in order to display bossa nova and also falsely sort of present Herbie Mann as collaborating with Zhao. I'm not really sure why, though. And I mean, I'm not sure really why Antonio Carlos Jobim gets sort of this second billing. I mean, I think he really did all of the arrangements, and he does, I think, like the piano on a lot of the songs, and in fact, he sings on some of the songs, so I don't know why he gets sort of this second-tier billing when Zhao, who really didn't participate in the album in any way other than having previously recorded songs that could be harvested for it, gets top billing. I don't know. But anyway, what can you tell us about Herbie Mann, Felicity?
So Herbie Mann was born in Brooklyn, New York, April 16th, 1930. And during the 1950s, he played bop with Phil Woods and a bunch of other jazz musicians at the time. And he's really like considered one of the first jazz musicians to really feature the flute, though he did play also the clarinet and a couple other instruments. Flute is really his jam. And one of the things that is sort of important to Herbie Mann over the course of his career is this emphasis on groove, which is kind of this idea of having like an intuitive driving rhythm underneath whatever group you're playing with. Usually it's like held down by the bass and the drum section, but this like feeling of groove was really important to him. In 1959, he was sponsored by the State Department to go to Africa, and he created this Flautista album of Afro-Cuban jazz fusion with his flute playing. And then in 1961 is when he went to Brazil and met João Gilberto and Antonio Carlos Jobim. And you know, that, of course, resulted in this album and resulted in future bossa nova albums. Throughout the 1960s, he continued to work with Brazilian themes. And there is also the, I think it's called Do the Bossa Nova with Herbie Mann is another one that he made. And then, you know, as the bossa nova craze started to kind of trail off, in the 1970s, he focused more on like some disco and pop crossover. And he got caught a little bit of flack from jazz musicians for that. But he really was like into, you know, doing some experiment with pop music. He was not really a jazz purist. And he was, you know, of course, interested in collaborating with the African musicians and Brazilian musicians. So he really brought in some of that like sort of world music feeling into what he was doing too. And then he, in 1970s, founded Embryo Records, and that was a branch under Atlantic. And later on in 1994, he also founded Coco Pelli Records. He was having, it sounded like, a hard time kind of working underneath the umbrella of Atlantic, and he started up his own thing. And then he died in 2003.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, aside from this album, I don't really have any knowledge of Herbie Mann's other work, but I mean, I've seen a lot of his stuff, and because I like this album so much, I've always been interested in, you know, maybe pick up some other albums. But I tell you, Herbie Mann's albums seem like all over the map. It's like, I guess in sort of the same way that I think Cal Jader is, where it's like one album is, yeah, it's like about African music, another one's about Brazilian music, another album is about disco, and I'm like, I just don't even know where to start with him, so... I don't know.
Yeah, listeners, why don't you give us a shout out, recommend some other Herbie Mann album for us. We should check out that Flautista album. That sounds kind of cool with the Afro-Cuban thing. That seems cool.
And what about João?
So João was born in Bahia in Brazil on June 10th, 1931. He started playing the guitar as a teenager. And then in 1950, he was recruited as a lead singer of this group, the Garotos da Lua, which means the Moon Boys. And he was dismissed after a year and a half due to lack of discipline.
But it's very fascinating. I mean, I've heard a couple of the old 78s of the songs by the Garotos da Lua, and it's nothing like João's later music. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can definitely... see that he developed his whisper singing later, because the Garotos da Lua was definitely, I don't even know how to explain, like a 50s sort of crooning Brazilian boy band group.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is like pretty much quoted directly from Wikipedia, and like dismissed after a year and a half due to lack of discipline. Like, that seems like the most generous way to state what could have possibly happened. We have this book called Bossa Nova. It's by Roy Castro. And there's, like, all these stories about, like, what a terrible deadbeat João Gilberto was. Like, he's, like, wouldn't ever pay his rent. Like, he's bumming in everybody's groceries.
Yeah, it's like he's wearing this sweater on Chega de Saudade, and I think it's, like, stolen from Walter Santos or something, you know, so it's like not even his own sweater.
I'm sure like that album came out and then Walter Santos is like, dude, like, where is my sweater? Like, give that back.
But it seems like for whatever reason, people were like very generous about it. Like, I guess they realized his talent and they sort of overlooked his faults. Uh-huh. I don't know. But
yes.
He seems pretty much like a terrible guy.
he seemed like he would be a pretty awful roommate. But, you know, the whisper singing, like, that would win me over, no doubt. I'm like, oh, it's cool. Like, why don't you just play at the end of the hallway over there? It'll be fine. So, like, in this manner, he kind of floundered his way through the early 1950s, bumming off his roommates, and really, like, working on developing his own style of singing and playing. And eventually, like, it obviously it worked out for him. He met Antonio Carlos Jobim in 1956, who, of course, composed a whole bunch of bossa nova songs and collaborated with Zhao on lots of music. And during the sort of upheaval of the Brazilian government, he moved to the U.S. for some time and lived in the U.S. through the 1960s and eventually returned permanently back to Brazil in 1980. And, you know, we've talked about a bunch of Brazilian artists in this show, and some of them, especially like the Tropicália guys, got like super experimental with the music over the years. And I really feel like Zhao is like pretty much like done the same jam for a decade. It's like this whisper singing is pretty much his deal. The bossa nova is just his jam.
Yeah, but it's like there's artists who, you know, they have this period of popularity and you feel like they peak and then they live the rest of their career off of sort of milking the popularity of from their peak or whatever. Like, sorry to say, I feel like the MBP4 is a little bit in that vein. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Zhao, I mean, even though he stayed in the same genre, I feel like he didn't really peak early on. I mean, he has this 1972 album that I think is, you know, one of his greatest. I mean, in like, you know, he kept on making albums that were just fantastic, you know, throughout his whole career. So, definitely not somebody who is just like riding on the coattails of their earlier success.
Yeah, yeah. But I think his sound has just stayed consistent over the years, even though, I mean, he kept putting out new material, but I think like his sound is definitely consistently Zhao.
Yep. All right. Well, why don't we get to my clip?
And what did you pick?
So I picked like what's possibly my favorite song. This is Consola Sal. This is the third track on side B. Flissy, what do you think of this track?
Well, I'm sure you're going to talk about this as well, but Baden Powell's guitar playing is just like out of this world on this track. And I think this is just such a beautiful rendition of this song because in addition to like the stunning guitar playing, I feel like Herbie Mann's flute just is like, it's just the right amount. Like it's got this really mellow sound and it's always complementary to the piano and the guitar that's happening, and his solos also I think they never get like they never go off the rails like Stan Getz and his like bossa nova collaborations. Like I feel like Herbie Mann has really like he understands something about bossa nova. I feel like maybe because this album is kind of like this compilation, I get the impression that Herbie Mann really approaches Brazilian music with a sense of curiosity and really trying to learn something about it, rather than trying to be like, I'm gonna just like show off on top of this thing, or I'm gonna like bring some American flavor to this thing. I feel like he was really trying to learn about what the essence of bossa nova was and apply that to like how he played in the song.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that, yeah, it's like Charlie Bird and Stan Getz both had this thing where they're like, oh, I heard this bossa nova music and it's awesome, and let me show you how I can do it. You know, it's like that was just like a jumping off point for them. Right. And it really, yeah, it seemed more of a point of departure than it did them really trying to understand the essence or stay true to what bossa nova was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think Herbie Mann is a little bit different in that he does seem to have a more genuine interest in understanding bossa nova than just using it as, you know, a way to jump in on the latest fad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of a shame here. I mean, the album does credit Baden Powell with composing the song, and then it has like this little like, you know, asterisk or whatever, and then mm-hmm. has elsewhere it's like, oh, and you know, Baden Powell also accompanied Herbie Mann on the song. But I would say that it's more than just an accompaniment. I mean, in fact, in some ways I think Herbie Mann is almost the accompaniment.
Yeah.
Or at least I think maybe that's what works well, is that it's not like one or the other is, you know, really trying to steal the limelight. I feel like they share the piece very well, and I think that's what makes it effective. Mm-hmm. Is that neither one of them is really trying to steal the show. But Baden Powell is definitely an awesome guitarist. I think my favorite artist of all time. I hope to feature one of his albums on our show, but it's unfortunately a little bit difficult because he was extremely prolific and he has like 70 albums, and I'm not sure quite
which
one.
How do you pick which one?
Yeah, so I've been crippled with indecision, but that's something to look forward to.
We take requests also.
But yeah, I like Herbie Mann. I think he plays, I suspect he plays the bass flute on this song, and I think that that's a good match for the song.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this, I mean, this version of this song is my favorite version of Consola Sal. Consola Sal is one of my favorite songs, so this one is one of my top picks, you know, just period. And yeah, I think it's just a very effective example of sort of instrumental bossa nova. So what do you think, Felicity? What do you think about this album?
Overall, I think it's just like such a lovely album. I really like that there is the... I think it has to do with Herbie Mann's like passion for this sort of indefinable sense of groove. I think that is a quality in bossa nova music. Like, I don't think it's like groove in the sense of like some R&B or some disco or swing where it's like really upbeat and driving, but I think there is like this rhythmic quality to bossa nova that makes it like, you know, infinitely pleasurable to listen to. And I think Herbie Mann has like, I think he's connected with that feeling in bossa nova that that makes this like a really easy album to listen to. It has a really nice flow to it, and I think that, you know, all of the musicians are kind of they kind of, over the course of the album, some of them are like, you'll hear Herbie Mann's flute playing, and then you'll hear Baden Powell on guitar, and then you'll hear Zhao singing, and then you'll hear Tom Jobim playing the piano. There's just this nice relationship between all of the musicians kind of having a little bit of place to be featured, but it still has this really lovely constant bossa nova thing.
Yeah, I mean, the things I like about it are, well, that it was recorded in Rio, because I think that that means that it's all Brazilian musicians aside from Herbie Mann, because I think that that's one of the things that is the most difficult is the percussion, the drums.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, it was really difficult for American artists to capture the drumming style of the Brazilian artists. And in fact, when Tom Jobim collaborated with Frank Sinatra to do a sort of a bossa nova album, I guess his one thing that he insisted upon is that they have a Brazilian drummer. But speaking of that album, I feel like, again, Tom Jobim is a little bit, you know, given short shrift here, because I feel like his fingerprints are all over this album. I mean, you listen to the Frank Sinatra, Tom Jobim album, or other Tom Jobim albums, or just anything that Tom Jobim has, you know, arranged or whatever. And this definitely has the feel and sound of a Tom Jobim album. So, I mean, while I give Herbie Mann credit for, you know, being able to blend in well with the Brazilian artists and really, I think, taking it seriously, and more so than maybe other American artists, I feel like it's still more of a Tom Jobim album than it is either a Herbie Mann or João Gilberto album.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
So, but yeah, this one is always a weird one to file, because do you file under Herbie Mann? Do you file under João Gilberto? Mm-hmm. I'd probably file it under Tom Jobim. But
I would probably file it under Herbie Mann.
But then ultimately, I don't know, maybe I put it under various artists. Who knows? So that, yeah, that's one thing I don't like about it, is it's hard to file.
Really?
And the other thing I don't like about it is that it really isn't like capturing a specific performance, or even sort of you know, I mean, it, like the João Gilberto albums are taken from other recordings, I think, and it's sort of misleading you into thinking that, oh, this is maybe recorded, like a recording of a live performance that they did in Rio, when I really think it's like, well, they were playing live when it was recorded, and it happened to be in Rio de Janeiro, but João wasn't even there at the same time.
It was like, yeah, definitely a technicality.
So anything you didn't like about this album, Flissy?
Well, yeah, I guess I'm a little disappointed in the same. Like, I'm like looking up on YouTube, I'm like, is there a live performance of this? Of course, no, because it didn't really exist. But that would be so awesome. Like, why wasn't there like in some cafe somewhere, like all three of these guys, Blaine Powell, like they're all doing their thing together? But
I mean, I have to give them credit, because even though it wasn't like a recording of a specific event, I feel like
it sounds like it, though.
It does.
It sounds like it could be.
It is blended very well. It all has the sort of same style and feel to it. And it all, like, I think, works very well together. And so I think it is a very good compilation.
Yeah, I would say, like, any complaints I have are, like, totally, like, fictitious ones. Like, they're things that I've cooked up in my own brain. Like, it has nothing to do with the album. I'm like, wouldn't, like, the fantasy performance of this be even better? But really, the album's quite excellent.
Yeah. And I think definitely worth owning. I think it's available on CD, available to stream online, available on LP. So it should be easy to find, and definitely worth listening to. A good introduction to American audiences to bossa nova music. And so for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/43. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. For a longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week, we have something sort of as a celebration of April Fool's. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.